Hi, Fran is having tea with us today. She's wearing such a pretty necklace. Remember, Fran is our counselor friend who visits from time to time. But I don't think she's here to talk about mental health today.
No, I'm off work today. I want to share about something I really love doing. Making new things out of old stuff that was going to be thrown away. It's called recycling.
Welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Tammy, and Carol and Fran are here today.
Hello.
Hello.
We hope you can sit down and join us as friends together. So, Fran, you said you love recycling. That sounds interesting. Give us some examples of what you do.
Well, lately I've been making jewelry and decorations, like this necklace, just for fun. Not from gold and diamonds. But I use beads from old broken necklaces, and buttons and chains and brooches. I have some tiny pliers and I use wire and ribbons and shells, all sorts of pretty things, and make new pieces. Mostly I give them away. My friends get them for their birthdays with a handmade greeting card. You can decorate a piece of card with old pictures or bits of fabric or maybe some flowers you've pressed.
Can you tell us where you get your materials from, Fran?
Well, people often give me things they're throwing away because they know I like to reuse things. I also visit second-hand shops. Sometimes things are broken, or people might not need them anymore, or they might have replaced them with something newer. Where I live, people waste a lot of things, I think.
I agree. I hate to see things wasted, don't you?
Yes, my mother taught me how to remake clothes when I was young, and we had very little money. I remember going to a party when I was 16, wearing a beautiful green satin dress that she made for me from a dress that somebody had worn to a formal dance. I thought I was so smart.
Oh, I'm sure you were, Fran. So, do you still do that?
Oh, yes, you can do a lot with a needle and thread. Sometimes I find a blanket with a torn edge. Well, I can wash that, sew on a pretty fabric border and maybe a heart-shaped patch, and give it to someone who needs it. I hate waste, and I love to see the possibilities in things that are being thrown away.
I remember my grandmother making patchwork quilts from pieces of fabric that were left over from sewing, or the strongest bits cut from worn-out clothes. She would stitch the pieces together in pretty patterns and pad the quilt with old sheets or blankets that were wearing thin.
Yes, women used to make these patchwork quilts as a group, and it was a lovely way to spend time together and make really unique cushions and bed covers. You might like to do this with your friends. You can use cotton or wool padding or synthetic Dacron wadding. It's very light and warm and easy to wash. You might be able to get fabric pieces from the tailor if you don't have your own. I remember the first patchwork I made for my mother-in-law. I used bits and pieces of old dresses, children's clothes and furnishings from her sewing bag, and some from mine. I chose all the fabrics with blue in them, and I cut out nearly 100 squares all the same size, nearly as wide as my hand span. I sewed the squares together in rows, and then I joined these long strips together until I had a large rectangle. Then I sewed it onto some padding and backed it with some cotton fabric. She just loved it. It was full of memories for her, kept her warm, and it always reminded her of the love of her family.
Do you do things like that? It's amazing how scraps of fabric from our childhood can bring back memories, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is. So when my daughter was leaving home to study, I made her a stuffed teddy bear out of leftover scraps of fabric from our patchwork bed cover, so she would always have a little bit of home with her. It comforted her when she was homesick, and she still has it.
We've been talking to Fran about recycling, making use of things that others might throw away. I was thinking, we can often recycle food that might be wasted.
I think we'd like to hear more about that one, Tammy.
When you have leftover small amounts of vegetables or meat, it's easy to make a tasty soup. I often boil up any meat or chicken bones in clean water with some clean vegetable peelings for an hour or so to make a stock. I try to do it at a time when the stove is lit anyway to save fuel. Then I strain it and I keep the liquid. I add some chopped up vegetables that are getting a bit too old and wilted. Not food that's gone bad, but just what's left at the end of the week and needs to be used up quickly. Maybe I put in some lentils or grains to thicken it. I add some salt, spices, or herbs if I have them, and simmer it till the ingredients are soft. I love to experiment with different mixtures. My soup is different each week, but it's always tasty and good for you.
Sounds delicious, Tammy. I always feel like that kind of soup is free food, except for the fuel. And then you could give the boiled vegetable peelings to your chickens or put them on your compost heap. That's a great way to recycle. The worms turn rubbish into lovely, rich soil for your garden.
So it sounds like recycling is a way of life for you, Fran, not just a way to save money.
Yes, that's true, and I really enjoy doing it, much more than buying something from the store. Recycling is really a way of thinking and acting. I'm sure you would find other ways of recycling if you look at what is thrown away in your community.
So why is it important to you, Fran, apart from saving money?
For me, it's part of looking after our earth and not wasting what God has given us. I think it's terrible that people use and waste so much when there are people in real need. Recycling has helped our family to live more comfortably and creatively, and we've been able to share with others. You know, I seem to have passed this idea on to my children and grandchildren. This morning my granddaughter, who's just 4, saw her father throwing away a cardboard box. She said, "Stop, Daddy, I can make something with that." That made me smile.
She's taking after you, isn't she?
I do like to be creative, and that's part of being made like God, the Creator. And come to think of it, it is like what we do in counselling. With God's help, we talk to people who feel worthless and help them to find a new and better life. God doesn't throw away broken people. He loves to make them new.
Fran was just saying that God doesn't throw away broken people. Did you like that thought? Maybe you feel broken or a failure. Fran's going to tell us a story from God's Word, and it does have something to do with recycling. Let's listen and try to remember.
Let me tell you about Peter. Peter was a fisherman. A tough, plain-speaking man from the Lake of Galilee. Well, he had a tough outside, but inside he was, well, we'll hear. Who was Peter? He was a close friend and follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus called him to leave his fishing boat and follow him as he went about healing people and teaching about life in God's kingdom. So for nearly 3 years, Peter and some other followers, men and women, walked the dusty roads with Jesus. Peter often acted as the leader of the group, the one who spoke first, and often he didn't think before he spoke. Do you know anyone like that? Well, here is part of his story from God's true word, the Bible. Jesus was popular with the ordinary people. His followers were sure he was the Saviour God had long promised. In fact, Jesus told them he was. But the authorities began to hate him and wanted to get rid of him. Then Jesus told his followers, "Tonight all of you will be ashamed of me and leave me." "No," Peter insisted. "Even if everyone else leaves you, I won't." Jesus told him, "Before the rooster crows twice in the morning, you will have said 3 times that you don't know me." "Never," said Peter strongly. "No, I would rather die with you." And it happened. Jesus was arrested and taken away, beaten up and put on trial for his life. So what did Peter do? He did run away, like all the others. But later he went to the courtyard outside where Jesus was being held. Peter was standing about, keeping warm by the fire with the guards, waiting to see what would happen. Then a servant girl said to him, "You were with that man Jesus, weren't you?" "I don't know what you're talking about," Peter replied, and he heard a rooster crow. He went out to the gateway, but another girl there recognized him. "This man was with Jesus," she said. "No," he insisted, "I don't know the man." A little while later, someone else said, "I'm sure you're one of them. You talk like they do." "I never knew the man," spluttered Peter, and he started to curse and swear. But just then he heard the rooster crow again. Jesus turned and looked at him. Jesus' words flashed back into Peter's mind. Then he broke down and cried bitterly. How did you feel about what Peter did? Were you angry? Or horrified? Or perhaps you could understand only too well.
I guess he was scared of getting arrested or beaten up too. Maybe I would have done the same thing. I'm sure I would have been terrified. What do you think?
But when he realized what he had done, how did he feel? Yes, heartbroken. How would you feel?
I think I would have felt so ashamed, especially after being so boastful, so certain that I would never say I didn't know him.
Well, let's return to the story from God's Word. The next day, the authorities announced that Jesus was guilty, even though he'd done nothing wrong. He was crucified, nailed to a wooden cross until he died. But what he'd told his followers came true. On the third day, he was seen alive again, and over the next few days he showed himself several times to his friends. That's another amazing story. Some of the group decided to go back home to Galilee. Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And so six of them went out in a boat at night, but they didn't catch any fish. Just as the sun was coming up, they saw a stranger on the beach and heard him call out, "Friends, have you caught anything?" "No," they shouted back. "Throw your net on the other side of the boat and you'll find some." They did what he told them to, and their nets were so full of fish they couldn't pull them into the boat. One of them guessed right away. "It's the Lord," he said. Straight away, Peter jumped into the water and hurried to the shore to get to Jesus first. And sure enough, there was Jesus himself with a fire and fish cooking on it and bread ready for them. After breakfast, Jesus took Peter for a walk and talked to him. He called him Simon. That was his original name before he named him Peter the Rock. Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus asked, "Simon, do you truly love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." Jesus asked him the third time, "Simon, do you love me?" Peter's heart was really hurt. "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said again, "Feed my sheep." Jesus then warned Peter that one day he would indeed die for his sake. And then he called him again, "Follow me." And that's the end of this part of the story from God's Word.
Let's see what we can remember together so that we can tell this story properly. Now, what happened after Peter said three times that he didn't know Jesus? Jesus died on the cross and then he came back to life, and his followers met him several times.
Then some of them went fishing. Did they catch anything?
Well, not at first. Then what did the stranger on the beach tell them to do? Yes, throw the net on the other side of the boat, and then they caught this huge catch of fish. And when Peter realized it was Jesus, he jumped into the water, didn't he? He wanted to get there first. And Jesus and Peter had a talk.
Yes, they did have a talk. But first, Jesus cooked them breakfast, remember? I could almost smell the fish sizzling, and see the hungry fishermen enjoying it so much.
Oh, that's right. But it was that talk with Jesus that stuck in my mind. Jesus asked the same question 3 times. Do you love me? Peter had always loved Jesus, but I'm sure he was feeling pretty bad. Because remember how in the courtyard he had said 3 times that he didn't know Jesus. So he quickly said, yes, you know I love you.
Why do you think Jesus asked him 3 times?
I think it has something to do with Peter saying that he didn't know Jesus 3 times. Jesus was giving him a second chance. But Peter had to face up to what he had done and be ready to start again. Jesus did know that Peter loved him, but Peter had to be sure, really sure.
Yes, I think you're right. It's like that for us too, isn't it? When we've made a mess of things, done the wrong thing, Jesus knows how we feel. But we need to tell him how sorry we are. We need to be sure we really mean it. I know I often have to come back to Jesus and tell him I'm sorry and ask him to help me to do better.
When Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep, I guess he meant something like, care for my people. Tell them the things I've said and done. Be a good leader for them.
That's right, Tammy. Jesus was showing Peter that he had forgiven him. He didn't give up on Peter when he made a bad mistake. Yes, Jesus made him face up to it, but he forgave him. And then he gave him a really important job to do for him, and he asked Peter again to follow him. You could say he recycled Peter's life and made something very good and useful out of it. Because, did you know, Peter went on to become a great leader of those who believed in Jesus. He spread the message about Jesus far and wide, and he cared for them very well. He never turned back again, even though it cost him his life in the end. God made something very beautiful out of poor Peter's messy failure, and he can do the same for you. Remember, he loves you. He's waiting to forgive you and give you a new start. He wants to make something beautiful out of your life. Will you ask him to do that today?
It's time for us to go now. I think we all shared some good ideas about how to put old things to good use. Maybe you can try some of them.
And perhaps you can think some more about how Jesus loves you and wants to give you a new start as his follower. Failure is never final. There is hope.
Goodbye. Thanks for having me again, dear Women of Hope.
And don't forget, if you have any questions about the things that we've talked about,
we would love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week, filled with God's blessings.